You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill.
Oscar Bevis, IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast here at Box Park Wembley with the juggernaut Joe Joyce. That looks so much fun. Like, I'm so jealous. You've just done VR shooting games, VR boxing game, at the end, the Creed game. I mean, it looks like hard work because you are absolutely sweating your nuts off, but I am so jealous.
Yeah, I'm drenched, but yeah, I'm no stranger to VR. I've got one myself, but yeah, we even played this game, the same game, the zombie game at first in Vegas on a training camp. So, but yeah, I think Sam maybe beat me once, but this time it's, I've just been across the board on all the games on top. So yeah, it's been a fun day. And it's very sweaty work. Like, it's definitely a workout.
Well, I said to Sam, what I took from watching it, because we can see the sort of footage outside, is that whichever team Joe Joyce is on is the team that wins. So that's how I took it.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Because obviously I get more practice than most. So, you know, after training, I come back and chill and play some games. But yeah, it's been a great experience here, and to be in VR and this zero latency again. It's good to do some new levels on that zombie game and then try that other game where you could kind of play. So it was like me and Adam against Shane and Sam, and we beat them, of course, the blue team. And that new Far Cry VR was brilliant, like the visuals and you know, you got the machine gun where you can shoot more close range, and then you got a crossbow, which is like a single shot. You keep from reloading it each time. So that was cool. You could hit people from range, and there's like a kind of story to it. And like, there's a bit where you're like hallucinating, and there's people shooting at you from like on the ceiling, like upside down and stuff. And it was a joke.
I can see how much you love games. But one thing, I did see you get knocked out in the Creed game. You did knock someone out, Daniel Dubois style, but I did see you get knocked out, Joe. So we can't hide that one, I'm afraid. It's on camera.
I know, I had to like run back in my body and freaking club a leg, like club me. I thought I was on top. I'm not sure what, I tried some other new character. I don't know what that other character was, but I think it was, I made a poor choice in characters. That's probably what it was.
Yeah, he just wasn't up to the juggernaut level, of course. Let's talk boxing. So last time we spoke to you was the open top bust, and that was sort of talking about the intricacies of how you ended up fighting Takam. We know it's going to happen. It's 10 days away. So let's talk about the in-ring stuff. He's short, he's stocky, he's durable. He likes to go in with his head. Is it pretty obvious what we can expect, do you think, in 10 days?
Yeah, carnage. It's like going to be like a car crash. I think we're going to, Takam's going to be awkward because he's going to come in from lower, and he's got a big overhand right and left, and he comes in with his head, so he's going to be a very tricky opponent. He's durable, so he's going to be able to soak up a lot of shots. But yeah, it's going to be an exciting fight, and hopefully I can like knock him out quicker than... First of all, I've got to win the fight, but hopefully I can knock him out quicker than Joshua or Chisora. So that's what I'm going for.
You've got to be wary of that head, because if you just watch any Takam fight, just, you know, even take the Joshua fight out and the fact that Joshua got nutted in about round three, even if you take that out, it's the ducking up. Like, it's quite obvious for people to see. So have you got to be really wary of that?
Yeah, I don't want to get my nose bust like Joshua did, thank you. But yeah, so it's going to be a tough fight. And obviously I've worked on a load of techniques and stuff I can do to exploit his like weaknesses. But yeah, he's a strong, durable guy, and he can throw big bombs. So it's a risky fight at this stage, but I need to be coming through people like Takam to move on to bigger and better things.
How different is preparation, and how different's the build-up been to Dubois? Because there was so much more fuss, and so it was so much more volatile between you and Daniel, less so with you and Carlos, but you know, a bigger fight for your career and a trickier fight, I suppose, as well. So it's a real difference, I suppose, to your last camp.
Yeah, the last camp obviously as well got postponed like by 3-4 times. So we started off in Vegas and then did a couple of camps in here, and the big build up for this for the Dubois fight, and beating Dubois has put me in a great position, and then. I've got the build-up for Takam. I thought I was going to have Usyk originally, but change of change of plans, and now I've got Takam. So he's, you know, experienced. He's fought a lot of, he's fought all the best guys, and he's coming to win. He's had a long training camp, so he's going to be a very tricky Carlos Takam on the 24th. So I'm prepared and ready. Did my first session today in this VR, so I've got the final event in sparring later.
Yeah, I was going to say, a little birdie told me you're going to go from VR, where you've been sweating your nuts off, to sparring Alan Babbitt, who's like one of the most relentless guys on the scene at the moment. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't really envy you there. You're going to spar Alan Babbitt in about an hour's time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so I'm going to have to dry off, maybe take a cold shower, and then get my boots on and get ready to go again.
Another thing with Carlos as well, I mean, if anyone watched, I think it came out yesterday or the day before, you and him done something on Queensbury's YouTube channel with Dev. You've got someone in front of you that respects you as well. There's no bullshit talk, no trash. He literally has come in and, I don't know, it almost seemed like you were pals in a way. I know you're not, but it's very respectful between you two as well. So there's a big difference as well.
Yeah, he's a, you know, experienced guy. He's been in with the best, and he's obviously coming towards the end. He's later in his career, but, you know, there's respect there because he's all his fights, he's always in great shape. He, you know, he's a tricky fighter to beat, and so there's respect there. You don't need to be like cussing each other's mums or anything like that. So, but we know we're both going to have a good fight. We're going to, like, it's going to be an exciting fight, but we both have respect for each other, and you know, like, you know, you're going to get some good viewing when you see us two in the ring.
What's all this Takam sparring stuff? We love a sparring story in boxing. Some of it is just sort of for hype and whatnot, but. You were meant to spar Carlos in Vegas, which is like Sam's second stomping grounds. He was over in Vegas with the team, meant to spar Carlos, but never came off.
Yeah, so we're waiting in the gym, waiting for Takam to arrive. And
You were literally waiting for him to arrive at the time.
I mean, maybe I'm exaggerating a bit, but yeah, we was waiting for it because I thought I was going to spar him because it'd be great sparring for Dubois. So what we thought, and you know, I all I knew was sparring, but Sam and that were all got arranged it, and apparently he didn't get back to him, so he like kind of swerved the spar. But it's like, it's not like, I think he was getting ready for someone that was similar to me or something, and then obviously it had been great experience for me, but I don't know. He's trying to say that it's because he would have fought me, but he didn't know that at the time, and I don't know, so it's question marks there.
And then you ended up sparring Francis Ngannou, who is his countryman, and I believe they're friends as well. So, I don't know, perhaps he was the little insider in the camp, Francis, says. You sparred Francis, and I can imagine they've had a little chat about it as well. Why wouldn't you, if you pal?
Yeah, yeah. He says, he's a human wrecking machine. He's got power, he's got a chin, he's durable, he's got an engine, but he's not dangerous. That's what Francis Ngannou said. So, I don't know, take from that what you will.
I was going to say, make that what you will. Just quickly, Joe, because you've got a couple of other interviews to do. Fury Wilder 3 postponed. It's weird because, like, Fury and Wilder, you and Takam, Joshua and Usyk, it's all sort of intertwined as trying to line them up, because we want, obviously, the British guys to fight each other and come through their fight successfully. Just a shame, really, that we're not going to get to see it follow on from yours, because that would have been a serious 24th of July.
Oh, no, yeah. So we're just going to have to make up for it with our fight. And all out war, and then hopefully these other guys can sort their stuff out and get on finally, and then you know, like, I'm just waiting for my opportunity to get a challenge for the title, and just beat whoever is in front of me.
Just finally, you'll come across him on fight week, but 10 days out when I put this up later on, have you got a message for Mr. Takam?
Hey, I'm here, I'm ready, I know you're ready, so let's get on, have a great fight, and may the best man win, which will probably be me.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill, in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.